Hey, this is Derek Wooten. I'm lead pastor of Makers Church here in Cincinnati, Ohio, where our desire is to make disciples and make a difference. Thank you so much for joining us through our podcast. We pray this message speaks life and encouragement into you and what God is doing in your life. Hope you enjoy it.
And amen. Come on, let's get into the word today. I'm excited to start this mini series, and I believe God's going to speak to us today. And I want to start here because we've been talking about a vision for this year. We've been talking about our vision for this year is rise. Somebody shout rise. We're talking about how God has called us to rise, to reach for next, and to have intimacy with Him, and to seek the lost and expect the supernatural. But how many of you guys know that none of us could do anything with the Lord or for the Lord without the Lord? You can't do anything for the Lord, or you can't do anything with the Lord without the Lord. That's why Zechariah 4:6 says, it's not by our might or our power, but it's by His Spirit. It's not by how good we are, or how able or how talented we are. Listen, if it was just us, we would always come up short. But all of a sudden, when the hand of God steps in, He comes to our natural with His super. Supernatural things can happen in Jesus' name. And so we know something, that God has called us to rise. Somebody say, it's my year to rise. It's our year to rise, but the reality is we're not going to do it on our own, but we're going to do it by the Spirit of God. God has given us a vision this year to rise, but listen, we can't rise without the Holy Spirit. We cannot rise without the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't live and move and have our being without the Spirit of God active in our lives. We must have Holy Spirit active in our lives. And listen to me, we certainly don't fulfill the assignment that God has given each of us on the earth without the Holy Spirit. We certainly don't fulfill the assignment, the great commission that Jesus spoke in Matthew 28 to all of us without the Holy Spirit. Do you remember that command? How many of you guys know it wasn't a suggestion? It's a command, and Jesus didn't say when you get around to it or when you have time for it. He said, this is your life's mission. How many of you guys know the church should be a missional church? We should be on a mission daily to do what Jesus called us to do. But look what He said in Matthew 28. Throw that scripture up there. Matthew 28, Jesus came and spoke saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And here's the command. Go. Somebody say, go. Go, therefore, and make disciples. Boy, that sounds like the vision of the house. Good thing our vision's God and Bible-based. Hallelujah. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Someone say amen to the word. So see this. We can't fulfill that assignment without the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't, listen, we cannot win people to Christ and disciple them so they can win more people to Christ without the Holy Spirit. That's the assignment, that's the mission God has given not some of us, but all of us. And what's interesting is that when Jesus gave that assignment to those folks that helped become the New Testament church that we're a part of today, He did not say go. After He said go, He said, but first, you need to wait. He said, before you go do that, you need to go and wait. Let's go with me, if you've got your Bibles this morning, to Acts chapter 1. We're going to read verses 4 and 5, and then we're going to get into verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Here's what it says. It says, and being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. How many of you guys know the promise of the Father was the person and the power of the Holy Spirit? The promise of the Father was the Holy Spirit. But wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit, which, He said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. That was verse 5. Now look at verse 8. Notice what Jesus said, and I love that He was so clear about, anybody thankful that Jesus was clear about the Holy Spirit? There's been so many muddy and weird teachings about the Holy Spirit, but Jesus was pretty clear from the beginning, and I'm thankful for Jesus. He says this, He says, but you shall receive power. Somebody shout power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. How many of you guys know part of the end of the earth was also Cincinnati, Ohio? Jesus in all his sovereignty knew that one day this word would get to you and me, and he would remind us, listen, we need to go sometimes and wait, and we need to get filled and refilled and just reawaken with the person and the power of the Holy Spirit so we can be the witnesses of Jesus in the earth and we can advance the kingdom in our lives in Jesus' name. It's powerful to see those things. And this is what Jesus commanded those folks to go and do. Listen, Jesus knew that before those folks could rise to be everything he desired them to be, before they could fulfill the assignment, they had someone and something to receive. They had someone, because how many of you guys know the Holy Spirit's not a thing, he's a person. I don't have time to teach that today, but if you don't understand that, come find me. You can take me to lunch and we'll talk about it. Just kidding, I'll pay for my own lunch. But he said, wait a minute. He knew that they could not do what he was calling them to do until they received someone and something. What was that? Ready? It was the Holy Spirit and fire. It was the Holy Spirit and, somebody say, fire. I don't know about you guys, but I like talking about fire. Pastor, you're a pyromaniac. No, I'm not. We'll talk about that in a minute. I just like fire because it's a kingdom fire that comes from heaven that literally energizes every part of who we are to do great things for the Lord. But see this now. It was the Holy Spirit. They needed to wait to receive the Holy Spirit and fire. Say, Pastor, how do you know it was the Holy Spirit and fire? Because John the Baptist said this about Jesus in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. He said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And that's what we know. How many of you guys know Jesus is the baptizer into the person of Holy Spirit? That's what Jesus does because Jesus loves us. And so that is exactly what happened when those believers went and they waited, when they went and tarried. They waited with worship. How many of you guys know they did not wait scrolling on reels on Instagram? They did not wait binge watching Netflix to say, oh Lord, the Holy Spirit's almost here, better turn this off. That's not how they waited. They spent 10 days and they were worshiping and they were praying and they were reading the word of God and they were just staying hungry to receive the promise that was coming to them. And lo and behold, what do we find in Acts chapter 2? We see that exact moment. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come. You know what that means? That means it was the Feast of Pentecost. You know the Feast of Pentecost starts this Friday night at sundown, and next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, and God's going to meet us here because that day is going to fully come to Maker's Church. Come on, somebody. But look what it says. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole, somebody say the whole, filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each, somebody say each. One sat upon each of them, and they were all, now somebody say all. Notice, whole, the whole house, each of them, and they were all filled. Again, if you've ever heard that praying in tongues and receiving the baptism with the Holy Spirit is just for some people, somebody taught you wrong, because there's no reason that God would fill all of them and not fill all of us. There is a beautiful gift called the person of Holy Spirit, and just like he was poured out on them, I believe he still wants to be poured out on us so we can fulfill the assignment. So we can rise and be everything Jesus has called us to be. But notice what happens. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, not as they were taught to speak, not as they conjured in their own mind or their own emotions. No, the Holy Spirit did it because that's who he is, and he is a good God. If you believe that, somebody say amen. But right there, we see something. They received the Holy Spirit and fire. Pastor, how do you know? Those 120 folks, they caught fire in that upper room. They caught fire. The Bible says, divided tongues as a fire sat upon each of them. They caught fire. And my goodness, did they rise up with power and authority to be witnesses for the kingdom of God? Because after they started having that encounter with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says specifically, they spilled out into the streets. And people thought, man, what's going on with these folks? Something's happening. That's when Peter got up and he preached, and 3,000 people gave their lives to Jesus. And the church was born. And it wasn't powered by programs. And it wasn't powered by coffee, and it wasn't powered by air conditioning and chairs. It was powered by the Holy Ghost and fire that came inside of them and fueled them to be what God had designed them to be. And so what do we see? They rose up in that power and that authority from place to place, from city to city, from nation to nation. See this for a minute. They didn't just rise, but it also spread. It didn't just stay where they were, it spread. See, some people say, Pastor, how did they rise so quickly? Well, it was not by their might or by their power, but it was by the Spirit of God. They were able to rise into the fullness of what God was doing by the Holy Spirit. When they received the Holy Spirit, they caught fire. And if you remember some of those science classes from elementary school, heat rises and fire spreads. You see, I believe if we want to rise in this season the way God has designed, we need to get heat up again in the Spirit a little bit, so we can rise to be what God's called us to be. And we need some fresh fire so it doesn't just spread to us, but it spreads to our children and our spouse, and it spreads to our workplace, and it spreads to our communities and our city. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to be ignited with the fire of the Holy Spirit, because we've got a gospel to preach. We have got a faith to share. We've got sons and daughters that need to come back to God. We've got things to do that God has anointed us and called us to do, but we've got to catch fire from the Holy Ghost to walk in the fullness of what the Lord has for us. If you believe that, somebody give God praise in this house. So see something. They rose up with the Spirit of God. They immediately begin to fulfill the Great Commission. Why? Because the assignment that Jesus gave immediately started to get fulfilled when they began life with the Holy Spirit and fire. I love you. You're not going to do it without Him. Pastor, you don't know how talented I am. You don't know how smooth I am. Listen to me. You're not gonna do it without Him. How many of you guys know that Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit when He was on the earth? I hate to break it to you. If the Holy Spirit was the CEO of Jesus' ministry, honey, you need as much as Him as you can get. We need Him. But what's interesting is we can go all the way back to the book of Exodus to see another outpouring of the Holy Spirit, even in the Old Testament. Can I take you there? I want you to see this for a minute. Because how many of you guys know, even though there's an Old Testament and a New Testament, there's not an old God and a new God. He's the same God. He's the same God. Look at this. If you go to Exodus chapter 19, hundreds of years earlier, something took place on Mount Sinai, where the fire of God was released and the teachings, the Torah of God was released to the people of God. Exodus 19, I'm going to start right here. It says, now Mount Sinai. Where am I at on the screen here? I'm going to pick it up where it says, now Mount Sinai. So just jump with me there. It says, now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. He descended upon Mount Sinai in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. Then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. So many things happening at the same time in that supernatural experience. How many of you guys would have liked to experience and seen that too? What a supernatural moment for the people of God to see. Now, what's interesting is the Bible says there was a thundering and a smoke or a cloud that covered Mount Sinai. It says a loud trumpet sounded and got louder and louder. There are many Jewish scholars that will even today say that the people there saw the voices of God coming out of the mountain in tongues of fire. Now, how many of you guys know that sounds a lot like what they experienced in the upper room? When you go to Acts chapter 2, you can see the very same things taking place on the day of Pentecost. And the truth is you can look at that and see the similarities. But if I'm honest today, I'm not here to debate with you whether those Jewish scholars, what they said happened or not, because here's what I do know. What happened on that mountain that day did not stay on that mountain. What took place in that moment did not stay there, but it went with them for generations to come. And then we fast forward 1,500 years later, and all of a sudden there's 120 believers that are hungry to just be absolutely filled with the Holy Spirit and fire. And the Spirit of God comes down, and they get filled with the Holy Spirit. And what happens? They are in that upper room, but guess what happens, church? It didn't stay there. Even though they were in that upper room, they got out into the streets of Jerusalem, and then they went to nations. They went to the ends of the earth preaching the gospel. If it didn't stay on Mount Sinai, and it didn't stay in the upper room, can I tell you what God wants to pour out on us? It's not just supposed to stay here on the top of this hill, but it should go with us into every part of our lives. It should go with us into every place of societal influence. That fire is not just for a location, but it is for a body. It is for a people. The Holy Spirit desires to fill us so we can go and advance the kingdom of God and make disciples in Jesus' name. If you believe that, somebody say amen. So we have to see this, church, that if it didn't stay there in those places, that it can't just stay here. When believers get baptized with the Holy Spirit and catch fire, it is so they can rise and the kingdom of God can spread. It's not just for a building. And for too long, we have treated the Spirit of God, and frankly, we have treated Pentecost like something that happens only in certain places. But it's supposed to be a part of us wherever we go. Because the Holy Spirit is a person, and we should have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. And he should be a part of not just some of our lives, but all of our lives. If you believe that, somebody say amen. And listen, just like they needed fire in Exodus, just like they needed fire in Acts, we need the fire of the Holy Spirit today. Pastor, why are you so hopped up on fire? Listen, you wanna know why? Because I would rather people experience the flames of Holy Spirit and the fire of Pentecost instead of the flames and the fire of hell. That's why. And we cannot do this without the Holy Spirit. Everybody say, I need him. More than you ever could possibly imagine, you need the person of the Holy Spirit. More than you could ever possibly imagine, you need him. And here's what's interesting. Do you remember in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24? Do you remember in Hebrews 12, 29? It shows us something about God. It says, for our God is a consuming fire. You can't get away from it. I love you. How many of you guys know, some people are like, Pastor, why can't we just talk about fruit? Because the Holy Spirit, he also produces fruit, and fruit is sweet, and this fire you talk about just feels dangerous. I'm gonna let you in on a secret. The people of God need to be dangerously sweet in this season. And it's not just enough to say, oh, we're bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Honey, you need the fire of the Holy Spirit. You need it in every part of your life. So before you try to pass this off and say it's for some people, it's not for me. Yes, it is. Jesus died, got back up, went back to heaven and said, it is beneficial that I leave so the Holy Spirit can come. It's because we all, somebody say we all, we all need the person and power of the Holy Spirit. And we need the fire of God. Notice what the text says. It says our God is a consuming fire. It is a fire that consumes us, but it does not kill us. It's a fire that consumes us but doesn't kill us. It's a fire that does not burn from the outside in, but it's a fire that burns from the inside out. The fire of God is a supernatural kingdom fire. It is a fire that is designed to wake the wonder of this world back to our Father in heaven. If you're ready for that fire, I just want you to say, Lord, start a fresh fire in me. Come on, declare it. Lord, start a fresh fire in me. Lord, start a fresh fire in Maker's Church. Lord, start a fresh fire in my family in Jesus' name. See, the truth is that we have misunderstood about the fire of God, especially Pentecost. Pentecost is not about lighting a fire under you, but about lighting a fire in you. It's not about lighting a fire under you. You say, well, Pastor, you said we need the Holy Spirit to fulfill the Great Commission. Yes, but it's the fire of the Holy Spirit is not about you performing or you doing more and more and more so you're loved and accepted. The fire of the Holy Spirit's not a pressure to please people, but the fire of Pentecost. Pentecost is a kingdom-ordained, Spirit-filled fire in you that brings purpose. It brings passion. It brings power that comes from the throne room of heaven and is made manifest in every part of your life. It's a fire that we all need. Can I remind you that you and I were made to be combustible? Come on, somebody. We were made to burn. We were made to have fire. We were created to catch fire. We were made to burn with a holy fire full of divine power and passion for divine purpose. Somebody say fire. Hopefully you don't even forget that word this week. I make you say it so much today. But do you know that fire, the word fire, it's used today as a term, almost kind of like in slang, this generation. If you hear your young people or those of us in our 20s, don't you do it. Fine, those of us also in our 30s, fine. If you hear somebody say something is fire, that's a good thing. That means it's cool. That means it's awesome. If you've ever texted somebody or you see your kid's phone and they've got fire emojis with something, that means that they really like it. This word fire has become popular in our sons. How many of you guys know our sons and daughters have a different language than we do anyway? Listen, it's Greek. Let's not even play. It might as well be something we've never seen before. But that's okay, because you know what? Every generation has their own language. Every generation has their own sound. And we do not condemn them. We love them and celebrate all God's doing in them to do. But if you see this word fire, there is this version of it that doesn't necessarily think when you mean, oh, that's fire. If you think that they literally mean fire, you're going to show up with a fire extinguisher, and that's not what they meant. And then they say, oh, it's fire. That means that it's a good thing, that it's cool, exciting, amazing. And so you can see fire just showing up in that way. A few weeks ago, one of our deacons came up to me on a Sunday and said, Pastor Derek, your drip is fire today. He said, your drip is fire. And I know what he meant. Some of you don't know what. I'm going to help translate it for you in a minute. And I said, bro, I appreciate it. I said, I love you, no cap. Now let me help everybody that doesn't know what I'm talking about right now. When he said your drip, he was talking about my outfit. He was like, man, you got swag today. You are looking fresh. He said, your drip is fire. And then I hit him back with, thanks, bro, appreciate it. I love you, no cap. What does no cap means? It means no lie. You're telling the truth. Look to your neighbor and say, I love you, no cap. Help somebody out just for a minute. And so we had this exchange, and it was fun and it was exciting. And listen to me, that's all fun, that's all fine. Listen, grandmas and grandpas, text your grandkids today and say, your drip is fire today, and see if they don't fall out of their chair and say, what are you talking about? Who took your phone? You will mess with them today. You will mess with them today. And that's all good and that's all fun. But can I tell you, there is a world out there that also uses the term fire to celebrate things that are sinful. They're calling things fire that will actually send them to a lake of fire. Let me go further for a minute, because I want us to see this. It reminds me of Leviticus chapter 10, when the sons of Aaron, they lit a profane fire before the Lord in the temple, and they both died for it. They lit a profane fire in the temple. They knew they weren't supposed to. They had been warned. They had been told. And they lit a profane fire before the Lord, and they both died. Pastor, why is this important? Because Satan also understands we were made to catch fire. Satan also understands we were made to catch fire, but he is not trying to spread a profound fire. He is trying to spread a profane fire in all of us. He is trying to spread the wrong kind of fire in us. And so, church, I need us to understand we must make the decision in our heart that the only fire that should be burning within us is a fire that belongs to the Holy Spirit. The only fire that should be sweeping through our hearts and our habits and our homes belongs to Yahweh. It belongs to Jehovah. We don't have room for profane fire anywhere in our lives. Somebody say amen if you believe that. I'll preach on holiness if you don't help me out now. Listen to me, church. It is the fire of the Holy Spirit, the mantle of Jesus. It should be our prayer that we want to burn with a kingdom fire that melts the culture of this world so it can be replaced with the culture of the kingdom of God. But we have to be intentional about stewarding that fire. And we have to be intentional about asking the Lord to stoke that fire inside of us. How many of you guys know we need to stoke the fire of the Lord in our hearts and our lives? Anytime we get a chance for the Lord to refill us with the baptism with the Holy Spirit and fire, we should say yes. We should say yes. And listen to me. If we're going to rise and fulfill the assignment, we have to catch fire. We have to catch fire. I joked a second ago and said, well, Pastor, you focus too much on fire. Let's focus on fruit. But the Holy Spirit does both. He's a both and God. And there are too many believers out right now that are trying to choose either or. Come on, somebody. You've met those people that have no fruit, but they're full of fire. We call those folks crazy folks. Come on. You laugh. You say, Pastor, those folks are weird. Listen, they were weird before they got the Holy Ghost. Do not blame the Holy Spirit on them. But we need fire and fruit. If the Holy Spirit ignites us with fire, but he also initiates the production of spiritual fruit in our lives, we need both of those. We need both of those active and growing in every part of our lives. If the Holy Spirit does both, we should not be trying to choose. We should say, if he is both, we want both. If he does both, we need both in our lives. We need the fire of the Holy Spirit to ignite us with passion, to walk in the fullness of the victory Jesus died to give us. We need that fire. But my concern is that most of us haven't had that fire in a long time. It reminds me of when my son used to play soccer. Anybody kids used to play soccer? How many of you guys think soccer's of the devil just like me? Okay, yes. I'm just kidding. For you soccer players in the room. I say it's of the devil because I'm going to explain to you why here in a minute. So the last season my son played soccer, we said, Brennan, you're going to play soccer. Dad, I don't want to. It doesn't matter. Brennan, you're going to play soccer. Dad, I don't want to. Brennan, you're going to play soccer. Finally, mom, the ball steps in. Brennan, you're going to play soccer. And he was like, okay. Because the tie always goes to mom. Come on now, let's go. But that season was miserable. Like, I'm not talking about like irritating. Like, it was like, if I have to show up to practice for a game one more time, this is a problem. Here's the problem. I was the coach, right? That's the problem. That's the problem. They were so bad. It was an 8-game season. Oh, it was bad. 8-game season, 5 games in, 0 goals. 5 whole games, no goals. Now, they didn't care because after 5 whole games, they got 5 whole snacks. That's all they cared about, right? How many of you guys remember when you were a kid, you didn't care about the game? If you got a snack, that's all that mattered. That was the real prize and trophy. Still that way, probably. 5 games, no goals. So if they have no goals, how many games do you think they won? See the goal total. 0. No wins, no goals. I'm at a place where I'm like, guys, how can we cheat to win? Do we need to push them down? Do we need to threaten the other parents in the parking lot before the game starts? Do we need to pay the refs off? We just have to score a goal and win a game. We have to. You say, let me explain to you why it was so frustrating. Because here's the truth. They were little. They were all like 3, 4, and 5 years. They were adorable, man. And those little uniforms and the cleats and the shin guards, man, they were so cute. But they stunk at soccer. Here's what's interesting, though. We had lots of practices. We taught them in practice the point and objectives of the game. We taught them about offense and defense. And all these things were happening. And then we would get in every game, and every game they would absolutely just get dominated and decimated. It couldn't have been the coaching, right? Come on, couldn't have been the coaching. You guys are laughing too hard at them. But the reality was, is that they said they understood the assignment and the purpose of why they were playing, but they were passive. And they would basically let the other teams just push them around and take the ball and score. And sometimes I was like, why don't you just high-five them and tell them good job, guys, because... And so here we are, we're 5 games into the season, we haven't scored a goal, we haven't won a game. I'm ready to just quit altogether and resign my position as the volunteer coach of the YMCA. But it's because they didn't have any passion to play. In other words, they didn't have any fire to compete. They didn't have that thing that was telling them to give their best and do everything they could to succeed at the point of soccer. For the purpose and the assignment of soccer, they did not absolutely give their best, and they didn't play with any fire. They didn't have any passion. They were passive. They were cute as all get out, but they had no courage to go for it. That's a funny story. But it's not funny when you can take that story and apply it to most of the church in America. Because most of the church in America, there are millions of people that come and sit in churches every single week. And they can talk about their purpose. They can talk about their assignment from God. They can talk about what they know they're supposed to do. But guess what? They live passive lives spiritually. They're apathetic. They don't have any fire. They don't have any hunger. They don't have what would allow them to get up and not just be cute, but be courageous and push back the kingdom of darkness and advance the kingdom of light. Can I tell you, the church needs the fire of the Holy Ghost. Again, the church needs the fire of the Holy Spirit again. We are not a passive church. We are the triumphant church. We are the church that pushes back evil and pushes back darkness and makes disciples and makes a difference. It's time for us to stop saying we're cute. Look at our programs. Look at our performances. Look at our facilities. We say we've got the fire of the Holy Ghost, and we're going to win cities, and we're going to disciple nations, and we're going to reach people with the gospel of the kingdom again. If you believe that, somebody say amen. It's time for us to catch fire, church, and not some of us. Pastor, shouldn't we leave that to the evangelists? We're all supposed to evangelize. We're all supposed to be hungry to see people come into the kingdom of God. But you're not going to do it if you don't have fire. You're not going to do it if you don't have the power and the person of the Holy Spirit leading you to fulfill the assignment that Jesus has told each of us is ours to fulfill. So listen to me. I believe that this is one of those seasons, the Feast of Pentecost. Every single year, there are thousands of people that get filled and refilled with the person and power of Holy Spirit during the Feast of Pentecost. That's not an accident. It's because God ordained it on his calendar to say, I want to open up heaven over my people. And I want them to be refreshed and refilled and renewed into the fullness of what I have for them. It's time for us to rise, but we won't rise without the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. It's time for the kingdom of God to advance, but we won't do it without the person and the power and the fire of the Holy Spirit active in every part of our lives. So, Pastor, what do we need to do? There's three things I believe the Lord has put in my heart to share with us today as we prepare for, I believe, an open heaven encounter next Sunday here at Maker's Church. And it's not my own thoughts. You can actually go back to the Bible and you can see how we could extract these points from what we saw from the people of God. The first thing we need to do, church, is we need to position ourselves. Somebody say, position yourself. We need to position ourselves. What does that mean? For the people of God in Acts chapter 2 that received the baptism with the Holy Ghost and fire, they positioned themselves with praise and worship unto the Lord. Again, imagine for 10 days, those 10 days they spent in the upper room. Do you really think they were silent and quiet and moping around? They were celebrating what God was about to do. They were celebrating what had happened to Jesus and the life that they had in him. They had positioned themselves. Listen, they had positioned themselves to receive the outpouring of the gift of the Holy Spirit. They positioned themselves through praise. They positioned themselves. Do you know that what they would do during the Feast of Pentecost for generations is all the way back in Leviticus 23. They would spend the entire feast thanking and praising God for meeting all of their needs. I'm going to tell you something right now. It is hard for the Holy Spirit to enter an ungrateful heart. It is hard for the Holy Spirit to come into a person that is not grateful for who God is and all that he has done. You want to have an open heaven over your life, and not just next week, but you want to live under an open heaven? Be grateful for the goodness and the provision of God in every part of your life, because you will stay in position to experience the fullness of the goodness of God, because you recognize that he is your provider and there is never a time that you have gone lacking in what you needed, because he is good. So the first thing we have to do, if we want to receive an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, if we want to catch fire, maybe for the first time, or catch fire again, we've got to position ourselves through praise, through worship, through thanking God with gratitude for all he's done. The second thing we have to do is this, church. Go to number two. We have to prepare. Somebody say prepare. Prepare. Leading up to the Feast of Pentecost, the people of God would spend hours and hours and the revelation of God's word. You say, well, Pastor, they didn't have the New Testament in Acts 2. No, but they had the other Torah. They had the other teachings. They spent hours and hours just reading about the character and the nature of God. Imagine what kind of encounters you could have in your own home if the TV went off and the Bible opened up. Imagine what kind of encounters your kids could have if you guys would turn on praise and worship music and just begin to worship the Lord together as a family, and the Spirit of God would move in. What they did to receive the gift of Holy Spirit is they prepared themselves by just immersing themselves into the knowledge and the wisdom and the goodness and the character and the nature of God. If you want to be in an open heaven next Sunday, go ahead this week and position yourself with every opportunity to praise and worship the Lord and be grateful for what he's done, and then prepare yourself by getting into the Word of God. Now, you've got an even inside track than they did. You can read the entire New Testament and see what the power of the Holy Spirit does for the believer. You can see what Jesus promised and talked about the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, I am ready to be ignited with fresh fire from heaven. So we position, we prepare, and the last one, it's so important. You ready? We pursue. Somebody say pursue. Come on, everybody stand up on this one. I'm done. Pursue. Pursue. Honest moment for just a minute. Do you remember the last time that you really pursued the Lord? That everything else took a back seat. Everything else was less important.
Everything else was secondary because your focus and your hunger was more of him. Those 120 people in the upper room, listen, they were desperate for the promise of the Father. Nothing else mattered. Nothing was more important than being ready to receive what Jesus said was theirs. And they had no idea how much it was going to revolutionize their lives. We know how much the Holy Spirit can revolutionize our lives. We ought to be even more desperate than they were. We ought to be even more hungry than they were to say, Lord, let us catch fire again. Let us catch fire again. God, it's our year to rise. God, it's our year to advance. God, it's our season, God, to fulfill the assignment, God, and walk in the fullness of what you have for our lives. They pursued the promise that Jesus gave them. Listen, if you want to receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit, get yourself in position, prepare yourself, and pursue him with everything you have. Listen, God's not going to say, he's going to give it to you. Want to know why? Because the only prerequisite for the baptism with the Holy Spirit is salvation. That's it. When you say yes to Jesus as Savior and Lord, you can say, all right, Jesus, baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. We all need fresh fire. Pastor, all of us, we all need fresh fire from heaven. We all need a fresh infilling and baptism with the Holy Spirit and fire in our lives. Because if you want to rise, if you want to do everything that God has called you and anointed you to do, you're not going to do it without him. We need him. We need the person of Holy Spirit. So here's what I want us to do today. I want us to practice what we just preached. If you will today, we've got time. I want you to get out of your seat and find a place in this altar. Come on. Get out of your seat and find a place in this altar if you'll come.